Magazine. I'm Charles Ellison. Go for more at EcoWord.com. Joining us now, he's back with us, is Evlando Cooper, a senior researcher at Media Matters. Go to MediaMatters.org for more information, or Media Matters for America, to be more specific. And Evlando, fresh off of completing a rather expansive issue brief on how broadcast TV news covered environmental justice in 2022. And when we talk about broadcast TV news, right, Evlando, we mean what people typically reference as mainstream media or corporate media. And that's very important because that is the media that Americans consume the most. Evlando here to talk about that and more. Always good to see you, Evlando.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to see you as well.
Yeah, what was the purpose? Thank you. And what was the purpose of this particular project? What prompted you to get an outline? But this is something you've been doing for quite some time now, right?
Yeah, this is the third study we published about how broadcast networks cover environmental justice. And the purpose really is just to, we have an annual corporate climate broadcast study. We wanted to do a similar thing for coverage of environmental justice. And so the purpose is to evaluate how they covered environmental justice issues in 2022 and understand how these topics, like such as the Jackson water crisis, were being framed or represented in the media. Mm-hmm. And of course, to identify areas where there is room for improvement and encourage them to do a better job of covering these issues.
All right. Welcome back to Eagle Word Magazine. Evlando Cooper, we're actually going to play that episode a little bit later on. But joining us now, just a little bit of a glitchy start of the day for our current Earth pre-Earth Day edition of EcoWare Magazine. Matthew Vankovenberg now joins us. He's with Philadelphia's Environmental Science Magnet High School, running a new program that is actually teaching Philadelphia public school students how to harness the power of mussels. Mussels actually clean water. I did not know this. I didn't realize this, how significant a role they play in cleaning water, especially the role that they play in cleaning the Schuylkill River. So let's go to Matthew today to talk a little bit more about that. Matthew, thanks for joining us. I hope I did get the pronunciation of your last name pronounced correctly.
Van Kallenberg, but VK works great.
Van Kallenberg. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you for the correction.
Very, very happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So talk to us first about mussels. Like, we eat them, right? We eat them either hot or cold, but we really have no idea how powerful they are. So talk about that.
Yeah. So mussels, like you said, we don't realize how important they are to our ecosystem. A phrase that a gentleman at the for the water department, Lance Butler, familiarize me with is they are the livers of our rivers, and they can clean maybe 30 gallons of water each every day, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, but they can clean so many different things out of the rivers. They can take some heavy metals out of the water and then they end up putting them into their shells. Right, they can take a lot of the organic poisons and those kinds of things and digest them into ways that they don't necessarily cause issues. They also, you know, one of the main things they do is they take a lot of algae out of the water, and these algal blooms can cause great harm, especially if they're in populated areas. You know, Lake Erie, pretty much every summer for the last many years, there's a period of time where you can't drink the water from it because of these algal blooms that mussels can take out of, they eat them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, the Philadelphia Water Department, they use mussels as well. Like, this is something that actually various agencies who are overseeing water safety and also limiting water contamination have actually deployed as a, you know, because people might think that this is a bit insane and somewhat crazy using something as simple as mussels. They're thinking about something much more complicated and complex, like an actual piece of built infrastructure that keeps our water clean. Viewing something as simple and as small as a mussel to take care of a a task like that, people wouldn't be thinking about, and people might think that, you know, this is what my, you know, hard-earned water bill money is going into. But this is important to that. I mean, this is actually, on some levels, more effective than like built water cleaning infrastructure.
Oh yeah, I mean, as far as the efficiency per dollar, it is way more effective. So you know, a few years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, the city started looking into this. Like I said, there's a person there who actually got us started. Ellen Schultz and Lance Butler from the Water Department got us started with this project. And the idea is that, you can grow them in the river. You just need enough to get them going again. We're using mussels that are native to our rivers here. You can even go back to the Lenni Lenape actually used some of their shells as part of their barter system, right? Yeah. So I mean, they've historically been here. They were just, for the most part, killed off with industrialization and a lot of the toxins. It was just too much for them. And so now just getting them going again, and then they can basically grow on their own once you get them really going. At this point, you know, we're just getting some in the rivers. New York has what they're calling the Billion Mussel Project, you know, to get it going. Now that's a little bit different because it's a very different ecosystem there. So it's different mussels and all that, all those sorts of things. But yeah, I mean, it's very inexpensive. And it takes a lot of the pollutants out of the water, so that we don't have to use extra chemicals. We don't need to use as much electricity for the more traditional filtering systems. They still use those traditional systems, right? But they just don't have to use them as much, which makes it way cheaper.
Hey, you know, I'm real curious. How many mussels do we need in major river systems like the Schuylkill and Delaware River to, you know, river systems that say like a big city like Philadelphia relies on for drinking water, to get that to optimal, especially since we came out of this water crisis, to get it to optimal, optimal use.
Right. I don't know the exact number. We haven't done, I haven't seen that calculation, but I would imagine it's in the millions would be needed. And that's how many would naturally be there if, you know, we hadn't killed them off.
Wow. So now talk about this program. You came up with an idea to have Philadelphia Public School students at the Environmental Science Lab, because at one time there was a project. It was like an $8 million project to reintroduce mussels back into the Schuylkill River system, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
So there was a talk about relying on, you know, I think there was a public school project or initiative at one point, and then it faltered. Then there was talk about using a private school in the area, but you came up with an idea to have Philadelphia Public School students do this once again, but through the Environmental Science Magnet High School in Philadelphia proper. So talk about that program. What inspired it?
Sure, absolutely. So myself and a couple of other people from the Lankinoff Environmental Science High School, we were at a training for the Water Department over the summer, and they mentioned that they were doing this and that they were doing things with mussels. And there was an attempt to bring mussels into the classroom a few years before COVID, so maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But unfortunately, 100% of the mussels died in about a month or so. So it just didn't work. And we had heard that there was an idea to try it again at a private school, with the idea that it would show that, hey, we can involve the youth of our city to get them learning about these different ways, get them learning about bioremediation and also just the scientific process. And so Ms. Giese, Ms. Rich, and myself, we were in like a classroom area, and we walked to the lab, and we were like, hey, if you want to show that this works with the youth of our city, you should do it at a public school. The situations in the private schools are very different from what we have in our public schools. And we have the ability at our school to make your project thrive. And you'll be able to show that it's not just, the students who have private school available to them, but like it can actually work for all of our children of our city. And so then they were like, well, let's see. And then it was like, okay. And then once they thought about it for a minute, it was like, oh yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. And we were able to, get the muscles going. We have about almost all of them, survived the very early stages. So we were able to show that, the children of our city were able to learn about this process and also help them grow and get them to a pretty decent level, a pretty decent size. And then at that point, we actually started thinking about experiments that we could do, designing experiments. So it's not just can we grow them up, but can we figure out how can we help them grow better? Or also as global warming warms our waters, what will happen to the development of these mussels? Because there's a lot of research on saltwater mussels, but there's almost no research on freshwater mussels. Mm. And so my students were.
I didn't realize there was a difference.
Yeah, it's different kinds, right? Their basic structure is the same, but there are always a little bit of differences, you know. So what happened was my students came up with the idea of let's see what happens if we put them in warmer water. Because if we're going to invest time and money into growing up these mussels, mm-hmm. well, if they're all going to be dead in 10 years because of the water's getting warmer, which reduces the amount of oxygen and other things like that, then is it really worth it? And so my student, like, we're not done. We're not done with it yet. But it really looks like that these mussels, the freshwater mussels, are able to survive the warmer conditions, which is not necessarily true with the saltwater mussels. And right now we're looking at their growth rates were close to the same. A few more of them definitely died in the warmer conditions. But now the experiment that my kids designed about 2 weeks ago, we start with completely clear water. You know, we just do we put all fresh water into both tanks, the warm water and the normal temperature water. And then we put the same amount of food in them, and the food that we give them is algae, so it's kind of greenish. And then after a certain period of time, we look at how much they were able to eat. Now, this just shows that how much algae they're eating, but it would stand to reason, and this is why we're not done yet, right? That it would be taking these other things out of the water as well. And
what kind of water, Matthew, are you using? Are you using tap water? Are you using like fresh tap water? Are you using water like directly, like out of like you're getting buckets of water out of the Schuylkill or out of the Delaware, for example?
Exactly. About three times a week, myself or someone else, we go down to the river. We've got these big tanks, and then we, use that. So
okay, good. Okay, yeah. So for like a controlled factor, a controlled element, I'm real curious, like how the students, because that's impressive that the students came up with that on their own to think about. Okay, well, what about warm water? How would they respond to warm water, particularly with climate crisis, warming waters, and that's having a detrimental effect on our ocean systems and our waterways. In general, how do you think it sounds like the students have been adapting well to this program? They've been getting excited and coming up with their own kind of ideas and innovation.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I've been teaching in the district for about 20 years now, and what I found is that our kids are capable of so much. The students, they just you kind of get them started, get them to like get a basic idea of what's going on, and you just need to get out of their way. And then they will come up with things that you couldn't have thought of yourself. They're going to learn all kinds of great skills. Yeah, we're learning graphing, we're learning data analysis, we're learning about controlled experiments and all that kind of stuff. But just the problem solving and the creativity in their ideas, I think those are skills that are probably more important. At least in my opinion, they're more important, and it's incredible to see them develop this and get, like you said, they get excited. You know, you're not working out of a textbook. You're problem solving. You're taking an idea that you learned in this area, and then you're bringing it across into a brand new area, which on a thinking level is a very difficult task, and it just helps them with real life when you're not working out of a textbook. Like right now, as you're talking with me, you're not working out of a textbook. You have to think about these things and all that, and it helps them develop those things as well.
Yeah. Interesting. And real quick, well, Matthew, before we let you go, I'll give you about 30 seconds. Can these muscles withstand? We just had a water crisis. I mean, can it withstand like powerful ecological impacts like climate crisis?
Yeah, it really looks like they can, and then they can, help reduce our water bills, hopefully.
Okay, excellent. Matthew Vanken Venberg, who is with Philadelphia Public School System, teaches at Philadelphia Environmental Science Magnet School, and is overseeing this mussels, looking at how mussels can clean our waterways, our drinking water, in the Philadelphia region. So some fact, you have to check back in with us, Matthew. I want to talk to you again to get your students on and talk with us as well.
Excellent.
Word Magazine. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate this work. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. We'll check back in. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with more EcoWord. I'll be back with Evlando Cooper, who's going to come up next, finally, here on EcoWord Magazine.